Welcome to Recover Strong, a show that will transform your recovery from an eating disorder by helping you go from theory to practice to mastery. I'm Jessica Flint, founder of Recovery Warriors, and you are listening to our podcast channel created specifically for you in all the stages and phases of recovery. I want to celebrate you for carving out this special time to learn new skills, tools, and get the inspiration you need to recover strong. Let's get started.
I'm your host, Andrea Wells. And just like you, I understand what it's like to live with an eating disorder and be held back by body image struggles. The recovery journey is ongoing, and we're all in it together as we learn to embrace new behaviors and new thoughts day by day. Join me as I connect with eating disorder experts and thought leaders to give you the tools, resources, and strategies you need to recover strong. Today, I am joined by eating disorder survivor, advocate, mental health nurse, therapist, and best-selling author, Cara Lissette. She is passionate about recovery and breaking down the stigma around eating disorders and all mental health struggles. She shares her journey online and her advocacy work through her blog and social media. Cara recently joined us on Recover Strong, and she is back to answer a burning question from our audience of warriors. Today's question comes from a member of the Courage Club, Carmen. And Carmen asks, I'm recovering from a restricting ED and my hunger is off the wall. How do you deal with this? I very much want to be a healthy, balanced eater without restriction, but my body is wanting chocolate and carbs and it literally can't get enough. I'm unsure if I should stop giving it these things or if I should just let my body have them. Have you been through this? What is the best strategy to take?
I have, and this is really common in people that have restrictive eating disorders. So I would obviously preface this, like, I'm not a dietitian. This is something that I think is always a really good conversation to have with like a health professional. Tell you, I suppose, from my experiences is I would say that there are different approaches to this. So there's like the all-in approach that people talk about where you just give your body everything it's asking for. And there are definitely benefits to doing that, I think. I'd say one of the things that I found, although that's not the approach I took, is that once my body kind of realized, actually, you're allowed to eat these things, I kind of stopped craving them as much. And my initial fear was, I'm going to eat these things and I'm never going to stop eating them. And that was like my kind of main fear was. And that just isn't what happened. Like once my body was like, oh, actually, you're allowed to have the things that you've not been allowed to eat. And actually, you're eating now and you're going to eat again in 2 hours and you're going to eat again 2 hours after that or whatever. It very much became quite easy to just eat like a little bit of something until I didn't want it anymore. And then to not think about it again. So I guess the main point is that your body will recover from, I guess, the cravings that you've got at the moment because they're in response to the fact that you're not giving it what it wants. However, how you do that, I suppose, varies depending on what you think you can manage. So for me, I have struggled with behaviours outside of restriction. And for me, it felt very risky to then just eat without any boundaries around that because I knew that it was then probably likely to increase some other behaviours that I'd managed to stop. So if that's something that might happen to you, it might be better to take a more like graded approach to that. So I had like a meal plan that I followed that sort of went up in different stages. And that felt like that was what was manageable to me at that moment because the risk of just eating everything I wanted would have meant the risk of other behaviours would have increased as well. However, if that's not an issue for you, and actually you do feel like you just need to give your body what it wants and then eventually you won't need to do that anymore. That is probably true in the sense that once you have been giving it what it wants for a while, it will stop. You will stop feeling like insatiably hungry all the time and like you just want to eat everything that you set your eyes on because that is just a natural response to starvation and that will pass when you're not malnourished anymore. So I guess it depends. I suppose my advice would be as to what your eating disorder presentation is, because I think for some people it's absolutely fine to just go ahead and give your body everything it's asking for. And for other people, that might be more of a risk. You need to really have a think about the risk of like something like refeeding syndrome, which is one of the reasons I think it's important to discuss these kind of things with like a medical professional if you can, because it's actually not always safe to just go from restricting significantly, just suddenly just eating everything that you want to. Sometimes that's just not safe for your body. So
what is refeeding syndrome?
So if you've been very malnourished or had a period of like restricted eating, when you start eating again, it can throw all your electrolytes out and you can die from it. It's really serious. So if that is something, if you've had like quite a prolonged period of restricted eating and you have been malnourished for a long time, that can be quite a significant risk. And that's one of the reasons that people sometimes go quite gradually from and sort of build up what they're eating, because physiologically sometimes that can be really dangerous for your body. That's why it's always best to have that conversation with like a medical professional. But if you've been cleared of, and that's fine, it might be completely appropriate to just eat what you want to eat until eventually your body says, oh, okay, I know you're going to feed me again in a couple of hours, so I'm not craving that as much as I was before.
So I think a thing that comes up a lot when people ask this question as well, like where they're so scared they're not going to stop eating if they give in, is because of like fear or guilt associated with giving into cravings and eating certain foods. Like Carmen talks about carbs and chocolate. In your personal experience, how did you navigate these types of fears and guilts around, quote, giving in to the foods that you want to eat?
So one thing that my treatment program did, which was quite good, is that there are some places where you have some meal plans that are quite cautious about not giving you things that feel like very scary foods because they don't want to scare you too much. And I think that just means you're going to carry on avoiding them. So one thing that my treatment program did really good is that we did eat a lot of things like bread and chocolate and cheese and ice cream and all things that are just, you know, people can quite typically find quite scary. And we also did a surprise thing every week to eat. So one of your snacks across the week, you didn't know which, they just present you with something that you weren't expecting, you just had to eat it. And as absolutely horrible as I found that at the time, it was really beneficial in exposing you, I suppose, to some of those things that you ordinarily would avoid. I guess for me, like, what I really struggled with is I felt like I had permission to eat those things when I was at the clinic, and then I didn't have permission to eat them at home. And that was a really big transition that I had to make, which I did quite slowly, I would say. The guilt was unmanageable for me to do that too quickly. And I don't know whether in hindsight that was just me being a bit avoidant, and whether maybe I could have coped with more than I let myself think that I could at the time. But for me, I did find that just gradually building up slowly. So I had like a jar that had like 100 different things in it that I was scared to eat. And then every week I took one out. And every week I took one out and I ate it like without fail. And the only one I ever put back in was pizza. So I knew that it was going to be the last one I was going to take out, because every time I took it out, I was like, oh no, I'm too scared to do that one. When it was the last one, I did take it out and I did eat it. But other than that, every single one I pulled out, I ate it the week I'd pulled it out. And that was really helpful, because I knew that they weren't things that were like drastically making a big impact on my life. So like, yeah, I could have gone the rest of my life without ever eating a brownie. But like, what kind of quality of life is that if I'm still just avoiding things all the time? So it made sure that I'm not really scared of anything anymore, because I just made myself over and over again eat those things. So guilt wise, I would say like you are going to feel guilty when you start doing it, and the only way to feel less guilty is to keep doing it. So it sounds flippant, but it's not easy, but it's not complicated. You know, like the way to feel less scared is to just keep doing the thing you're scared of, and then you will feel less scared at some point. So it's not an easy thing to do, but the answer is relatively straightforward, in that if you want to feel better about it, you just have to keep doing it, and then eventually you will feel better about it.
And why is it okay to eat things like chocolate and carbs?
Oh, well, because it's just part of like life, isn't it? Like the way that I was taught to think about food, I suppose, in treatment was just that people that have healthy relationships with food don't restrict anything from their diet in particular, other than like, I'm vegetarian, so I don't eat because I don't want to, but it's not like a restricted thing. Like I would eat something that had 10 times the amount of calories in it that was vegetarian versus eating meat because I just don't want to. Other than making like dietary choices, I suppose, for reasons like that, I don't think restricting anything from your diet just because you feel you have to is particularly healthy. And kind of based on what we were just saying, the more you restrict something from your diet, the more you're going to think about it and the more you're going to want to eat it. So like a normal balanced diet kind of does include everything. And like one thing that we did like a lot of talking about is that like actually people who have like sort of normal relationships with like food in their bodies, they do eat past the point where they're full sometimes, and sometimes they do eat like a bigger breakfast and then have a smaller lunch, and they will eat, you know, multiple snacks across the day if they're hungry, and maybe they won't eat any vegetables in the course of a day because they don't feel like it. And just that there is no, I guess, consistent rules that people who have healthy relationships with food kind of have in their life. They just eat what they want when they want to eat it, and that is going to include things that you eat because you like the taste of, not because they're like particularly necessarily like nutritious for you or full of vitamins or whatever. Like actually, if you like chocolate, you can just eat chocolate. There doesn't have to be like a justification for it.
Yeah, I think people worry about those things. It's like, oh, it's unhealthy. What's unhealthy is eating disorder and food rules. So
exactly,
it really can actually make your life better. And Carmen says in her question, she says, quote, "I very much want to be a healthy, balanced eater," end quote. What are your thoughts on pursuing balance in recovery with food?
I think most people just find it naturally. So I don't consciously say I'm allowed one piece of chocolate a day every day. And that's me, you know, giving myself something nice to eat. Yeah, sort of quote unquote, you know, things that are scary to eat, but they're nice to eat. Because I still don't think that's very balanced or very healthy if you're doing it. I guess if you're measuring it out like that every day, like balanced, I don't think means, or to me, it doesn't mean having so many grams of carbs and so many grams of sugar and eating, you know, vegetables three meals a day or whatever. Like balance to me means that actually one day I can eat pancakes for dinner and it doesn't matter because the next day I'm probably going to eat something with vegetables in it and it's fine. Like balance to me doesn't mean like you have to be eating, you know, the same thing every day, or that you have to be getting the same like macronutrients every day to kind of, you know, offset your, you know, like the plate that's got the diagram on it of like, this is how much vegetables you should have, this is how much dairy you should have or whatever. Balance to me doesn't mean that all your meals look like that. It just means that it's okay to do some things one day and then do something different the next day. Like I might eat, I don't know, two bits of cake today because I want them, and then tomorrow I might not want them because I had two today, so I'll just eat a sandwich or whatever. So for me, like, balance is just kind of listening to what your body wants and it being absolutely fine for you to eat differently one day as long as you're listening to your body, you know, the next day, and still you're not compensating, like overcompensating for it. So I don't think it's, yeah, doing something like weighing all your food up and making sure your plate always looks a particular way. But balance is just about sometimes you eat something just because you like it, and then another time you eat something because you think, oh, I haven't had many vitamins today, maybe I should have an extra bit of fruit or whatever.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful with balance because it can be used in a restrictive way.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the way you said. But it's also one of those things where you're talking about earlier, like worry, like with intense hunger, you worry that the more you're just going to eat and never stop eating. But it's kind of a paradox where the opposite actually happens in practice. So if you're like trying to pursue balance and be restrictive or think like, oh, I have to be healthy or there's a certain way to eat, it's still a restriction. The outcome of balance is usually kind of what you find when you are not looking for it. If that's kind of what I'm getting, what you're saying here.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I would say my diet is, yeah, I'm pretty balanced now because there's nothing I avoid. And I think that's what can make a diet unbalanced, is if you're consciously restricting things or excluding things from your diet. And whereas I don't do that anymore, and I can just eat intuitively depending on my body wants, which took a long time to be able to do, by the way. That's not something that came, I would say that probably only has happened to me maybe in the last year, and I left treatment in like 2021. It can take a really long time for your body to just kind of feel like it's safe, and for you to be able to like respond to what it's telling you as well. That can be really hard. But I would say, yeah, my diet now is very balanced because I eat what my body wants. Bodies are pretty smart, and most of the time they can tell you what you want and what you need. And that doesn't just mean doing exactly what your body's craving, but also what works in your life, like, yeah, like what your social life looks like, and your job and your education and things like that.
And can you speak to, in your last episode, you mentioned self-compassion, and I want to get a bit deeper into that. Can you speak to the importance of self-compassion and forgiveness in the process of intense hunger and food cravings and eating things you're afraid of? How does self-compassion come into play?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think like I don't know, one thing that I had to kind of shift my thinking of is being around, like, I need to be able to, like, forgive myself if I've eaten something that makes me feel guilty. And that felt helpful initially. And I almost had to move my thinking away from that because I felt like the concept of having to forgive myself for it still meant that it felt like I'd done something wrong. So it was more like I changed my thinking around, less about like forgiving myself and more about just like being kind to myself. Because just because you've done something that feels uncomfortable, it doesn't mean it's the wrong decision to make. So that really helped the way that I framed things and the way that I kind of treated myself, because it helped me move away from the mindset of like you've done something wrong, rather just like you've done something that's uncomfortable and you need to be kind to yourself because you've done something that's uncomfortable, rather than you need to forgive yourself because you've done something wrong, even though it feels wrong. Part of that is about rewiring those sorts of it feels wrong and recognizing that I'm doing the right thing for myself and my recovery, even though it doesn't feel nice and it's an uncomfortable thing to be doing. But I think a lot of that kindness, you can do things like have a nice bath, do a face mask, what's your favorite thing? Like that is all part of being kind to yourself. But I think a lot of it also comes from just, you know, saying nice things to yourself and taking time to like recognize things you're good at and the contribution you make to the world and other people like about you. And I don't always think it's have to be like a physical act of doing some sort of like superficial self-care stuff, which is nice, but also it's more about, yeah, sort of trying to recognize why it's important that you're kind to yourself and like why you deserve kindness, I suppose, is like the main thing that I think is really helpful.
Yeah, it really is like it smooths out the rough edges of the discomfort, or it can. And I think that's super helpful to position it as a reframe from, no, I didn't do anything wrong by eating, so I don't need to forgive myself. Yes, it is uncomfortable. Let's look at it that way. And did you ever face any like worries of external judgment from others regarding your food choices when you were in recovery? And if you did, how did you manage those?
Yeah, I definitely did, because like what I found was I was eating, I felt like a lot more often than other people were. And sometimes I was eating things that I guess I perceived to be bad more than other people were. And part of that is just because that was my medicine and that's how I had to heal and I had to expose myself to things I was worried about. And like, I probably don't eat like foods that are sort of like traditionally scary for someone with a restrictive eating disorder as often as I was then, but I do eat them as much as I want now, even though that's probably less than it was when I was on a meal plan, because that was when I was eating it because it was like, you have to keep exposing yourself to things that are scary for you. So you need to be doing it really consistently and really regularly. So I kind of worried about that, because I also thought like people had this perception of me as like, this is somebody with anorexia and they don't eat these particular foods. So then I was just like, oh, but they're going to see me eating all these foods now. So they're going to think that maybe I was like making it up, or I don't know, that I was being dramatic, or that actually I'm fine now because I'm eating things that I was scared of before. So I did worry a lot about that, of whether people were just going to be like, oh, she's absolutely fine now, or she's just made this whole thing up and there's actually nothing wrong with her. But then I did have this thing of like, also, why am I eating? I just felt like I was eating constantly, and I'd be looking around and I'd be like, other people aren't eating now, so why do I have to eat now? So I did worry about that as well, that people must just think I'm eating all the time. And I eat more often now probably than I did when I was on a meal plan, to be honest, because if I just want something, I just go and get it. Whereas before it was like, I have to eat at this time and then I can't eat until this time and then I can't eat again until this particular time. And it was so like restrict, like regimented. But I did worry about that a lot, because I thought like people have got this perception of like, I'm somebody with anorexia and I shouldn't be eating as much as I am now, or eating the things I am now, because that's not what people expect of me. So that was difficult. And also I just think the way that society looks at food and talks about food is that I was eating stuff all the time that I've been like brought up my whole life thinking that it's bad to eat. So that was hard as well. But it stops being, you know, it stops being scary after you do it for like a period of time. It gets scarier and then it gets less scary after a while, I think. But no, I definitely did. I definitely did worry about that.
Yeah, it sounds like a big part of whether it's facing fear foods or facing potential judgments of what people may think, like just the good old exposure therapy. Doing it over and over has been a big part of your healing and helping you work through these things.
Yeah, definitely.
Are there any like specific resources that you have to suggest, particularly to related to managing like intense hunger and cravings for someone in recovery?
Yeah, so there's a really good book. It is specifically aimed at people with restrictive eating disorders. But there's a book by somebody called Tabitha Farrar, and her book's called Rehabilitate, Rewire, Recover. And that's literally all about like extreme hunger that people go through and like how to respond to those feelings and why it's important to, you know, acknowledge those feelings are happening and like what to do with them and stuff like that. It's a really big book actually as well. You can just get it on like Amazon. It's independently published, so I don't think you can't get it in like shops and stuff, I don't think, but you can get it on Amazon. And that's a really, really good book. And she's got a couple other ones as well that are about like fear of weight gain and stuff like that. She's really, really good. And there's another book called Just Eat It, which is by someone called Laura Thomas. And she is, I think she's a dietitian. She's something along those lines. And that's a bit
some kind of professional.
Yeah, some kind of professional, yeah. She's got a PhD in something that's sort of related to this topic. And her book is all about like diet culture and about how diet culture's made us feel about food and how to like challenge those thoughts that we've all had about food as a result of the way that we've brought up in like diet culture. And that's a really, really good book as well in terms of just like reframing what your relationship with food is and why we feel about, you know, the way about food that we do feel about it a lot of the time.
Yeah, those sound great. Perfect for Carmen's question. I'm going to link those in the show notes so the listener can check those out. And to sign off, can we leave Carmen with some advice or words of encouragement to her and anyone struggling with intense hunger and cravings in recovery? What advice or encouragement do you have?
My biggest piece of advice or encouragement, I suppose, is that you won't feel like that forever. You just won't. Like the reason that you feel like that at the moment is because you're hungry. And once you start eating enough and feeding yourself properly, you're not going to be hungry all the time anymore. And that's literally what that is. Your body is just crying out for stuff that you've not been giving it. Once you start giving it, it will stop doing that. And I genuinely thought like, I'm never going to be able to trust myself around a piece of cake or whatever, because all I want to do is like eat the whole thing. So I just need to not be anywhere near it. And that's just not true at all. Once you move past that stage, just being starving and denying yourself things that your body really wants, especially because normally those things are really energy dense. That's the reason why your body wants them. And literally once you start having them, after your body trusts you that you're not going to like deprive it from those things anymore, that feeling will pass. Like it's physiological. It will pass. Like it just will, even though it feels like it's permanent. It's not.
Yeah. It's not forever. Thank you for highlighting that. And thank you for sharing your insights on Carmen's burning question. And before we go, please let us know, how can all the listeners stay in touch with you and find your books?
So my blog is Cara's Corner. My Instagram and my Twitter are just at Cara Lizette, all one word, which is my name. And then my book, the Eating Disorder One, is the Eating Disorder Recovery Journal. And then there's subsequent ones that have come out since. So there's one for bipolar, which is already out, one for OCD, which comes out in March, and one for anxiety, which comes out in May. And you can find them Amazon and like all major book retailers.
Amazing. I will put a link to everything you just referenced in the episode notes for the listener to check out. And thank you so much for being here with us again today, Cara. Thank you.
Well, my warrior friend, thank you for having the discipline to listen in. If you found this episode helpful and know somebody in recovery who could benefit from its inspiring message, please share this show with them. It would mean the world to us at Recovery Warriors if we can get our cause out to more people struggling with an eating disorder. So if what you heard today was helpful, share the show with another warrior or anyone on your treatment team. You can do this directly from your podcast player or send them over to recoverywarriors.com. We have a goldmine of free resources there for all stages of recovery. And until the next episode, may compassion light the path you are on and courage keep you on it. You totally got this, warrior.